Our in-depth guest today is Kendall Duffy, a high school senior in Portland and creator of the Portland Veterans Project. The Portland Veterans Project is a website dedicated to the stories of Portland's military veterans as told by those who served in World War II up to our nation's more recent conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq. Kendall interviewed each veteran and transcribed the recordings for the website with the goal of sharing these experiences with the greater community. She started the project in June 2017 and has continued to add to it. Kendall's here in the KBOO studios to talk about the Portland Veterans Project and share a few of those experiences with us. Kendall Duffy, welcome to KBOO.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Kendall, first a little background on you and the project. The inspiration came from a school trip you made to Washington, D.C., particularly a stop at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. Late at night, huh?
Yes. So when I was a sophomore in high school, I had the chance to go on a Civil War winterum. So my school does this thing called winterum. The week before spring vacation, we get to sign up for some sort of experiential trip, whether that be international, domestic, or a local trip. And I did a domestic trip. We went to Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and then DC, exploring different sites of the Civil War and learning about the history there. And we ended our trip at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in DC. We were running super late, so we got there and it was basically abandoned. And we had the chance to go through and really experience it one-on-one. And while I was there, I just became really curious about the stories behind every name that was on the wall and their lives and what had happened before they'd ended up on the wall. So that's kind of how I started to think about the idea, and I decided when I'd come home, I'd learn more about it. So I did.
Now, when you decided to start the project, so there you had the spark of it. Mm-hmm. Did you seek advice or assistance from your teachers, or did you do pretty much all this yourself? I mean, it's an amazing website and a wealth of material there. Even you had somebody design a logo.
I did, yeah. I had a lot of help, some mentors kind of along the way. The first person who really influenced me and really helped me was the guide of the trip. Our school hired him to come help. He works with the school a lot for these trips. His name is Ron Silver. He's a local of Portland. He does a lot of trips like this. And he asked us the question, at the end of the trip, what are we going to do with the knowledge that we have now? And I just took it really seriously. I took it literally. And I thought, okay, well, I want to learn more about Portland's veterans. So I certainly didn't think it was going to become this, but I thought, I'll just learn about them. Let's see. So I came home and I just became curious about the people in my own life who had served in the military who I didn't know about. So I started by interviewing. My very first interview was with a man who I knew from the church where I work. I knew he was a Korean War veteran, but I didn't know anything about that experience except for the bumper sticker on his car. So I asked him if I could interview him, and he agreed. And I didn't know what I would ask him or how it would go, so I borrowed some questions from the veterans.
Oh, it's the, I looked them up. It's actually on your website, the guidelines for the Library of Congress's Veterans
right.
History Project.
Yes, so the Veterans History Project that the Library of Congress did, I think it was more like before I was born in like the late 90s, 80s, 70s with those veterans, but they still had all those questions online. So I took some from there. I formulated some of my own based on my own curiosities. And then I asked him about them. And I really just thought it was going to be kind of a one-time thing, maybe just learn some history, see what happens. But he was actually able to tell me about his experience with Bomb Blast Bravo in the Korean War. And I'd actually had the chance to learn about that in history. And I immediately made the connection of, well, I can learn about something in history, or I can hear someone who experienced it tell me about it. And that really strengthened my own understanding and appreciation. So that was how that started. My first interview was a huge success, so I wanted to keep doing it. I had a friend design the logo for me. Her name's Audrey Mester. She's a fantastic artist.
Yeah, it's a beautiful logo.
Yeah, she's a fantastic artist, photographer. I'm really so grateful that she did that for me. And I'm just really glad that I've been able to show the logo to people and have it be part of my project, because I think it really brings the whole thing together. So I'm so grateful for her for that. But those are the people who like really influenced me to begin my project. Ron, the first person I interviewed, and then Audrey really all helped me begin.
Now, from those humble beginnings, yes. You've now done over 50 interviews.
Yes.
Starting in July 2017 was the first one with the Korean War vet.
Yes.
To the present. And you interviewed my dad.
I did. Yes, I did.
And he's a 92-year-old World War II veteran. He was in the Navy. Fortunately, didn't see any combat.
Yes.
He was delivered the mail in Rhode Island, actually. But he was very young. I was amazed, Kendall, how calm and polished and skilled you were. I've been doing this for a few years, and it's not easy.
No, it's not. Not at all.
How has your interview process changed over that time? Were you nervous in the beginning, and then just things became a little bit more manageable and easier as you went along? And
absolutely. I think that I became a lot more confident in my skills and what I was saying. I realized as I began doing the interviews more and more often that people are going to give you the level of detail that they're comfortable with. So I've gotten really comfortable asking a question and allowing for some silence, allowing for time to think. And I think that's something that's changed over the interview time, not to just fill time with asking extra questions, but to give people time to really reflect. And I think that's really come across in my more recent interviews compared to the first ones, because the questions have more to do with like their childhood or more specific experiences after their service or during their experience. And those questions are formulated from others' answers. So previous interviews give me ideas for questions I want to ask in the future and things like that.
Well, I have to emphasize again, it was just amazing. I was sitting there kind of just, this is incredible. She's a high school senior and I'm jealous. I wish I was that good. Now, you've talked with veterans from World War II, as I mentioned, all the way up to the fighting in Afghanistan,
yes.
Iraq. How do you find your subjects now? So was there a little network you established after that first interview and through the church?
Yeah, so I really started by word of mouth. So the first veterans that I interviewed, I asked them, hey, if you know anyone else who you think might be willing to talk, let me know, send them my way. So I really started by working through people who knew each other, people who knew of someone else who they thought might be interested. From there, once I kind of began to accumulate a wealth of these interviews and had some experience to back up what I was doing, I began working with some veterans groups in Portland. NAVVETS, the National Association of Black Veterans. I've worked with the LGBTQ Veterans Office of Oregon.
Yeah, I wanted to get into that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
That was fascinating.
VetWork, which is a veterans networking company or group here in Portland, along with retirement homes. So I reach out to retirement homes, usually to activities directors, and then they usually work to set me up with either the leader of a veterans group at a specific retirement home, a resident who has really taken it upon themselves to work with the other veterans, or just activities directors, staff at these places who know their residents and who might be willing.
It seems like most of them are willing then. Do you get anybody turning you down?
Oh, yes, all the time.
What are usually the reasons?
I think it's because, well, I actually have never been to an interview where someone has said no once I've gotten there and like to my face. I've had people just think about it and say, you know, I don't remember my experiences too clearly. That happens sometimes with the older folks that I'm interviewing. I've also had people say that this happens more frequently with more current wars, so Iraq and Afghanistan, along with some Vietnam veterans who have said, you know what, I'm still getting comfortable with my experiences.
It's too painful.
Yeah,
to talk
I'm not ready to talk about it right now. And, you know, that's completely okay. And I really respect that decision because I never would want to force someone to talk about something that they're not willing to. I always say in the beginning of my interviews, it's completely up to you how much detail you want to give. If you want to skip a question, please let me know. Like, it's your interview. It's your story. Let yourself dictate what you share. Yeah.
Now, you talked about some people who you feel, based on their age, they might not remember.
Mm-hmm.
That clearly, what struck me while reading the interviews was, even though many of these veterans are in their 80s and 90s,
yeah,
the World War II veterans, and even Korean, they have crystal clear, very detailed memories,
yes, they do,
of their wartime experiences. I mean, it was like a minute by minute account. was that surprising to you?
Or? Absolutely. I think something to strive for, as you know. I think also it helps that a lot of them have thought about these experiences a lot, have grappled with them throughout their life, but a lot of them have moments that really changed the way that they saw the outlook of the world, or where they felt personally like their worldview was shaking, whether that was like a close call in combat or they witnessed something that really is upsetting or off-putting. I mean, it's amazing some of the things I loved listening to. I think your dad actually mentioned it, and a few other people, listening to the radio programs as children. One person was able to tell me about play-by-play of his favorite Lone Ranger episode, which I thought was pretty cool. I tried to find it later because I was
so
curious. But I
wasn't even alive during that time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've listened to all those.
Yeah.
Now the interviews, you kind of implied it. Mm-hmm. They clearly bring up a lot of memories, good,
yeah,
and bad.
Yeah.
Has that at times been a very emotional experience for the veteran you've been talking with, and you as well?
Absolutely.
As the listener?
Yes. It has happened more frequently, actually. I've been making a real effort in the past few months to reach out specifically to World War II veterans, because the window is getting smaller and smaller to talk to these people and to record their stories. And so it's been an emotional experience hearing these stories. They're talking about a world that just doesn't exist anymore, whether that be the society, the culture, the worldview. There's definitely been some experiences, you know, I've had people cry in interviews before. I've cried in interviews before, whether that be talking about their moms who have been gone for 50 or 60 years, talking about the dogs, the bomb dogs in Vietnam who died pretty regularly.
And their friends probably,
their
too,
friends,
who died in combat.
Yeah. I had the opportunity to talk to a man who was part of the liberation of Mauthausen concentration camp. And that was a very emotional experience for the both of us, him recounting it and myself hearing it. But it's the stories that really make a person human that are the ones that have the biggest impact. People cry thinking about seeing their wives for the first time after 3 years, or their children. It's a very humanizing experience hearing from a person who, from what their experiences have been, you might think was hardened or cold-hearted. Not cold-hearted, but very, protected, that they still have those like emotional memories.
Yeah, I have one passage I'd like to read here.
Sure,
That struck me. And this was from a 97-year-old World War II vet. So this is something that happened when he was very young and a long, long time ago,
yeah,
yet he's still grappling with it. And this is on Kendall's website, of course. He says, when you're face to face with Germans and they're shooting at you and you have to shoot back, it's either they're going to kill you or you're going to kill them. I have an aversion to killing people. I try to wound them, but sometimes you can't. They're shooting right at you, right at your face. You have to shoot back. And you don't know whether you're going to kill them or not. That's the most horrible thing to me. I have a conscience, and I still have nightmares about that. What are you feeling at times like that? I mean, I was almost tearing up reading about it. It must have been extremely difficult for him. He had to do it. He had no choice. He was being shot at,
yeah,
and yet it's still bothering him.
Yeah. A lot of the times when you're hearing about experiences like that, I'm sitting across from someone who reminds me of my own grandparents, or reminds me, or doesn't look intimidating, or doesn't look scary, or doesn't look like someone who could ever wound someone in that way. But they're saying something that is so drastically different than their appearance or what you might expect of them.
Plus, they were kids.
Yes. It's always interesting. I'm 17 years old right now, but I have people who talk about joining the military at 17, and I can't imagine that experience at my age. I don't think I have even the beginning of an understanding of what that would be like.
Now we did mention a little while back about the interviews you found with different groups of oppressed minorities.
And yes,
there were three that stood out for me. One was a 92-year-old Japanese-American man who served shortly after World War II, because during the war, he was actually moved to a relocation camp for Japanese-Americans. And then there was a 75-year-old transsexual woman who served in Vietnam.
Yes.
And also a 53-year-old gay Navy veteran.
Yeah.
It was just fascinating in terms of their stories, the discrimination they face, and in some cases, they really didn't face any.
Yeah.
The transsexual, I mean, it was surprising how little of a problem she had.
Yeah.
Was that something you sought out to get the view of the minority in service?
Yes, I did purposefully seek that out because I realized that a majority of the veterans that I was speaking to were older white men. And while their experiences are perfectly representative of what happened to them, it's not representative of the military as a whole. So I sought out, working with NAB Vets, I sought out the LGBTQ veterans group, contacting their leaders, asking if they'd be willing to send out a little message to any of their followers or anyone who's part of their program. But yeah, I sought them out on purpose just because I wanted to make sure that if I was going to be making such a huge effort to record these veteran stories, that I was making a genuine effort to involve everybody and to try and hear from as many people and as many perspectives as possible.
Yeah, really interesting, and certainly in light of the Trump administration's desire to prevent transgender service people.
Yes.
And here we have a long history of that, apparently, and that's clear from some of these interviews you did.
Yeah.
Now, you say you like to end your interviews with two questions. How do you think service affected your life? What do you want the public to know? And here's another response that struck me based on that. This is from a 74-year-old Vietnam War veteran, and you asked, how did your military service affect how you think about wars today? He said that war achieves nothing. I just couldn't say it any clearer. It achieves nothing. Unless you're defending your own country from assault, then there's no reason for us to be there. I see the Iraq and Afghanistan wars as totally worthless. They're the same stupidity that we exhibited in Vietnam. I don't think they have a rational basis. It would take a lot for me to justify going to war again. That wasn't an uncommon response. And here's somebody who served. Then you've got a lot of people now who've never served in the military. One person in particular will remain nameless. He got out on bone spurs, made up that story. And yet he seems extremely belligerent and warlike. So it seems a lesson learned here. People who've actually seen combat, served in the military, may be among the most war averse.
I think I've definitely heard some answers to that question that have been more pro-military. It's happened. I've heard them. But on the whole, it's been a pretty negative response to that question. Not many people who have experienced combat, who have lost friends, who have lost part of themselves to that conflict, are really easy or can really see any rationality behind it again.
Now, I wasn't going to ask, but now I'd kind of like to.
Sure.
What's it like being on the other end of the interview process here?
It's a little stressful.
Answering the questions.
I usually feel pretty good about asking the questions, but it's harder to try and scramble for words to answer as eloquently as possible.
Well, you've been extremely eloquent.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. One last thing, Kendall, how can we find out more about you and the project and read a lot of these interviews? You have a beautiful website.
Sure. So I have a website where I've published all these interviews. I strive to upload the interviews once or twice a week, usually depending on how many I've been able to do around school and work and things like that. But it's just called Portland Veterans Project. So if you search Portland Veterans Project, it's also portlandveteransproject.com. It'll bring you to a website full of the interviews. On the website, I only identify the veterans using their initials and birth year, along with a photo from that era. So while the stories are anonymous, they do have a wealth of information about their life before service, during service, and then after service, along with questions about war and morality and what they think about all those interesting little topics.
Do you have an end in mind to the project? I mean, you're still doing interviews right now.
Yeah. Well, I graduate from high school this year, so I'm a little uncertain of if I'll be able to continue it next year, just based on college location or just my time. But I would love to continue it. I love the stories that I hear. I so appreciate the opportunity to get to talk to people who have lived through our nation's history and who have lived to tell stories that should seem impossible. It's impossible that they lived it, but they did. So I don't know what the end is. We'll see. I don't know.
Well, we're enjoying it as you are posting those interviews. Yeah. Hope it continues.
Thank you.
Kendall Duffy, thanks so much for joining us today at KABU.
Yeah.
We've been talking with Kendall Duffy, Portland High School senior and creator of the Portland Veterans Project. You can find out more about the project and read the interviews at her website, portlandveteransproject.com. This is Ken Jones for KABU's News in Depth.